What's surprising and what I've been seeing a lot of is black people saying that, oh, you just want to be a victim, or you a victim, or you have that victim mentality, when another black person brings up the systemic issues that are facts. There are facts, okay? And when they bring it up, they're not saying, I can't move forward. They're just bringing it up as facts. And black people have now emulated and took that and is calling other black people that. That's the part that drives me. I don't even get it, okay?
So discuss race and how it plays a factor and how we didn't even talk about this topic because we were afraid.
A black executive perspective.
We are coming to you live on a Black Executive Perspective podcast. I'm your host, Tony Tidbit.
And I'm your co-host, Chris P. Reed. And here we cut through the noise and get straight to what matters. Power, politics, culture, leadership, and the moment shaping our lives right now. No filter, no safe takes, just honest dialogue and real accountability here. Let's get into it.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to dive into today because today is going to be one of those. As everybody knows, our mission is to make uncomfortable conversations comfortable, okay? And talk about the things that people don't talk about because they're uncomfortable talking about. Today, we're definitely diving into an uncomfortable conversation, right? And so we want to ask you, and we're going to need your help tonight. We're going to need you to dive in, provide your thoughts, provide your feedback, let us know what time it is. So we want this to be a collective conversation. So please jump in. We'll put up your comments on the screen. But tonight, we want to ask everyone about a question that gets casually thrown around way too much. It's becoming to say, what does victimhood mean and what does it look like? Because lately, anytime black people talk about systemic racism, wealth gaps, biased policing, education disparities, someone says, stop playing the victim. So tonight, we're going to separate these three things, real harm, structural systems, and personal agency.
And here's the tension. Is naming injustice a sign of weakness, or is it leadership? Is accountability for systems the same as surrendering responsibility for your life? You know, we're going to define the difference here clearly, so let's talk about it.
Absolutely, bro. And just to just be clear here, because, you know, I don't think people even know the definition. These people that are saying this, they don't even know the definition of what victimhood is or what a victim is. Okay. So a victim's mentality says, I can't move because the world is against me. Proof's telling says, this happened. It's real. However, I'm still moving forward. They are not the same thing. If a woman survives a rape and says, hey, someone harmed me, she's telling the truth. However, if she says, I refuse to leave my house forever, then guess what? She's becoming a victim because that's trauma-driven paralysis. So the problem is we're collapsing acknowledgement into weakness.
And let's just be honest. Calling someone a victim is a rhetorical weapon. Because if you label your critic as whining, then you have to examine the system, right? But here's the grown-up conversation. Can systems create real barriers and individuals still carry responsibility? Yes, both can exist. Two things can be true.
Absolutely. So as we chatted about this a couple of weeks ago, we was going to dive into this topic, right? And we want to dive into what is a victim's mentality? Because again, people don't know what they're talking about. But let's make sure that everyone else is on the same page, all right? So we can have a very collective and collaborative discussion.
How long are we going to have this never-ending victim complex? At what point in time does it actually start becoming your fault for your own failures? Or are you going to sit there blaming some straight white man from the early 1900s for the rest of your life?
My God, you spoke what needed to be said. You're speaking facts. Amen, sister.
See, I forgot. Only the white man can be called out. Not the black folk. Can't never call them out. Always the victims, never the aggressor.
Accountability equals kryptonite.
Stop using race and gender as an excuse for why you're not successful. You're not successful because you're lazy, you don't have the right information, and you don't have the right strategy to be successful.
Stop blaming the system for you not changing. So as a clinical psychologist, I get to hear every excuse in the book for people not changing. And one of the most common ones that I hear is that the system is unjust and that the forces of capitalism, racism, sexism, and systemic oppression are so great that it's not even worth trying.
So the bad part about it is, at no point in time did any of the people speaking say that these things didn't exist. They said that it's being over-exaggerated, or we should collectively get over it or just absorb it, accept it. That's not a good message to send someone if you're saying that they're a victim. You're victim shaming at that point, if that be the case. But the bad part about it is when we start to absorb that mentality based off of being beat over the head with it over and over again and start to give credence to it for ourselves and say, you know what? It's good to have ambition. It's good to have pride. It's good to have justification. But the reality of it is life does happen. Systems are fractured and broken, and things are not set up for you to be successful as your counterparts. But that's just the facts. Saying the facts should be simple as that, calling the spade a spade.
Yeah. And again, so here's the thing though, buddy, you know, what's that old saying, birds of a feather flock together. Mm-hmm. I've been on this planet for a long time. I've had friends. I've been in a lot of places. I have friends that I grew up in the city of Detroit, Michigan. Okay. And some were highly educated. Some dropped out of high school. Some, whatever the case may be. Right. I've never heard a black person that's been around my circle that did not eat and they get wrong. They wasn't rich. They didn't have anything. But I've never heard anybody say, I can't move forward because the system is so overwhelming. I might as well give up. I've never heard that. Okay. Never. Okay. And so at the end of the day, now I've heard, to your point, you know, the realities, the facts, but nobody just sat down under apple tree and said, I give up and that's it. Right. And so at the end of the day, these are two different things, but they're using the term victimhood because somebody is saying facts. They're not saying I can't move forward. All right. They're saying facts. And let's be fair too. Is there a portion of the black community that probably maybe says that? I wouldn't doubt. Okay. Because that's no different than any group. Okay. There's white people that live and just like, hey, the government ain't doing nothing for me. You know, they not thinking of me. There's nothing we can do. Okay. You don't hear them. You don't hear people calling them victims. Okay. At the end of the day, and they gave up. They just like, I'll do this. Forget about it. I'm not, you know, the government ain't going to help us move forward. And they're giving all these things to everybody else. And, you know, we're just stuck here. So what difference does it make? So my point is, in every group, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Indian, Jewish, you name them, there's going to be a group that's just lazy and don't want to do nothing and will use any excuse, okay, not to move forward. That's nothing new. That's been since Adam and Eve's son. One of them probably was that way. All right. So at the end of the day, this ain't nothing new here. But to try to say that all black people are victims, or I don't want to say all black people, but you hear it more about black people when we bring up facts. Okay. Facts that are real. All right. And that's why we wanted to have this conversation today, because it's no different when we started hearing the word woke, and they take these words and they try to put them and make them a terminology about something from a culture. They try to make it a cultural word about a group that they don't agree with. And so at the end of the day, they're this or they that, because they don't want to deal with it. When at the end of the day, the word woke means to be aware, okay, of what's going on, okay? But now anything that's progressive or anything like that, it's woke, okay? It is, and but when you look at the same things that they do, you could describe those things based on their definition that it's woke, okay? And so and here's the thing, bro. I got to bring this up, and I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
Okay.
The reason I want to talk about this is not because of the clip that we just played where you had white people saying stuff, okay? To me, that ain't surprising, okay? What's surprising and what I've been seeing a lot of is black people saying that, oh, you just want to be a victim, or you a victim, or you have that victim mentality, when another black person brings up the systemic issues that are facts. There are facts, okay? And when they bring it up, they're not saying, I can't move forward. They're just bringing it up as facts. And black people have now emulated and took that and is calling other black people that. That's the part that drives me. I don't even get it, okay? So that's my thoughts, my brother.
But in the same vein in which you were saying, you have jealous, hating black folks too. You got, they have the same short-sightedness and ignorance that white folks do. They're capable of the same indignities and bad manners, so to speak. I remember one time I was on a team with a guy, and he played, you know, this is how it went out. He didn't get the spot, okay? And he was like, man, they hating on your boy and all this and all that. And so we, as teammates, we all brothers, we as teammates was like, he older than you, he faster than you, he's stronger than you. He's smarter than you. Like, we giving all this. He was like, no, it's the politics. That's coded. It's the politics, bro. It's the politics, you know, because this, that, the third. No, they trying to get wins out of us, and he's the better chance to win. When you have that mentality, you tend to peanut butter spread that over everything that doesn't go your way verbatim. And then you start lashing out. If not for this, if I hadn't, I would have made it to this if I hadn't hurt my knee, or I would have did this, not with that. But the fact is, always beware of someone who constantly claims to be able to call out a victim, but never a champion. Never a champ. You never hear them talking about the yous and the me's and the brothers that did it and made it and this, that. They always talking about, man, I seen Tony from round away. He looking bad now. You know, it's one of those things where that's all they want to do is proliferate the myth that we can't get over the hump, or that it's hard. And it's a tough situation when you hear from your own folks, but it's a tough situation hearing from it in general, because it's not true when I'm just stating the facts. I think that one of the things is, it's hard to mitigate feelings, right? My wife says all the time, you can't tell me how to feel. You can't tell. And it's a tough conversation, because she's factually correct that I can't tell, but some feelings are inadequate and they're inappropriate because you're defining them and creating them where none should really exist if you really broke it down. And I think that if you called yourself a victim because you didn't have an 8-bedroom house, you dreamed to have an 8-bedroom house, 5-car garage, 2 Dobermans, you know, that walks beside you, and then you get to this point and you ain't got that, and you like, man, if not for Tad at my old job, you know, and them holding me back, trying to promote him, I could have had this and that. It's so much more involved in that, Tony, and people just do bad math.
Yeah, but that's nothing new. So that's my point here. That's nothing new. Mm-hmm. People have always done that, right? We have friends that make excuses, well, they can't do this, they can't do that. You know, I was telling Gail the other day, you know, we were talking about something, and I said, it reminds me of the person that says, you know, you try to get them to go to the gym to work out, right? Because they want to lose weight. And they always say, well, let me get myself together at home first, and then I'll go. Well, that ain't gonna never happen, because you ain't doing shit. All right. So, buddy, that's not new. That's not even what I'm talking about. There's always going to be people that blame everybody but their mother or father, whatever, that they can't get ahead. Nothing new. The point of it is they're blaming, or they're using the phrase victimhood when people are stating facts. That's the difference. So people, like I said, always using excuses. That's always been around. They'll never stop. But to try to say when black people or any person, a marginalized group, says a fact, and then all of a sudden you're now trying to claim telling them that they're victims, it doesn't even equate. But let's just be clear here. Chris and I gave you our definition a victim. Let's, this guy named Martin Seligman, he created something. I want everybody to watch this. So we're 100% clear. This ain't Tony and Chris making up something in terms of what a victim is.
Learned helplessness. It's a psychological phenomenon where a person or animal, after experiencing repeated negative events that they cannot control, starts to believe that they are powerless to change their situation. Even when opportunities to do so arise, they don't take them. They just feel like no matter what they do, things will not get better. It was discovered by American psychologist Martin Seligman in the 1960s. He was conducting experiments on dogs where they were placed in a chamber with a low, medium, and high shock. The dogs were then given the chance to press a lever to avoid the shocks. Initially, the dogs tried to do so. But after a while, when they realized that the shocks were unavoidable, they became passive and didn't try to escape even when the opportunity was presented to them. Their learned helplessness resulted in their passivity. We can apply this concept to humans too. For example, being a victim of prolonged abuse might stop trying to seek help or escape their situation. After enduring years of mistreatment, they might start feeling like there's no use in trying to escape because nothing will change.
When you introduce Stockholm Syndrome, right, where you've been conditioned to have your reality changed because you can't see the end of the tunnel or you can't see any other way. I think that the problem that I have in what we're talking about today is people see examples of champions. They see examples of the proliferation or the success that we have, and they choose to make it what it's not, you know, beyond the facts.
Right. Here's the thing, bro. There's a reason behind that, okay? It's not just they choose. Again, man, these things, even when I was talking about the woke stuff, that wasn't just happen chance. That was a strategy. That's what this is. It's a strategy. Let me go to my next clip to give you an example of what we're talking about when I say strategy.
Black people have a victim mentality. I keep seeing that same phrase pop up over and over again whenever I'm on social media. And every time I see that, it already tells me a lot about the person that's saying it. Not because criticism isn't allowed, but because the people that are using that phrase usually aren't trying to understand anything. They're just repeating something that they heard and like the sound of. It's just like the 1350 argument. But when you really listen to how people use that phrase, they never really explain what they mean by it. It's just, y'all are always playing the victim card. Just work harder. Y'all blame everything on racism. And it made me realize something. Most people that use that phrase don't know what accountability is, and they don't know what history is either. It's just something that they're tired of hearing us talk about. When they say that black people have a victim mentality, what they're really saying is, I don't want to hear you complain about systems anymore. They're not necessarily saying that the suffering we go through isn't real, even though some people will try to argue that point too. But what they are saying is that they're uncomfortable acknowledging it. It's uncomfortable for them to admit that some people start the race much further back. And it's especially uncomfortable for them to admit that some of the advantages that people enjoy were not earned. They were inherited. Because notice how that phrase gets used when we talk about things that are documented, like redlining, mass incarceration, police brutality, education gaps, the list goes on and on. Nobody calls it a victim mentality when other races do it. When they do it, it's advocacy, it's awareness, it's fighting for your people. But when we do it, suddenly it's, oh, y'all are just making excuses. One of the many things that a lot of racist people don't understand is that acknowledging context is not the same as avoiding accountability.
I 100% agree. I think that the level of accountability, though, has to go on both ends. And when you talked earlier, we talked about the guy who said he was a clinical psychologist and people come in and say, I didn't because this and because that and whatever. But he also knows of something called compassion fatigue. And it's a syndrome where you have compassion for something, but when it keeps happening over and over and over again, because you didn't go in and help fix the problem or help alleviate what we identified as an issue, you just said, well, just tough it up, bootstraps, all that other shit that we talk about all the time. When you have that thing where you don't really want to help the issue get better, it's going to proliferate over years and centuries and things like that, because we didn't do anything to make it any better. And so therefore, we're going to keep calling it out because, ow, that still hurts. Ow, that still hurts. Then it's like, damn, stop saying that hurts. Well, stop doing it. Stop poking me there. You get what I mean? And so compassion fatigue is where I've heard it so much that I'm tired of, and they called it black fatigue not too long ago in the media. But this idea of, I'm tired of hearing about the struggles and the strifes and the conflict and the tribulations and things like that. And I'm not saying that they don't necessarily exist. I'm just personally tired of hearing about it. And so that's why I'm lashing back out to you to say, stop being a victim. Stop being a crybaby. Stop whining.
It's that, right? It's that. And then the other thing, like my brother was saying, is that when things don't affect you, okay, it's easy to say, just pull up your bootstraps or think accountability, right? And the challenge, my brother, is that at the end of the day, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to learn. Like, again, I keep going back to, you know, what was that? Remember the Titans. Like, you don't want to know.
Right.
All right. And they don't want to know. Okay. Just to be fair. Right. And so, but I'm just being, when Jewish people talk about that anti-Semitism is on the rise and we see commercials and do you hear them being called victims? You don't hear that. So number one, they're speaking facts. Those are facts. Right. But you don't hear them say that. Okay. Or if another group says, but the difference is, my brother, which we're, what we're trying to, the part, the victim part, we understand what a real victim is. What we're trying to convey here is that at the end of the day, just because somebody speaks facts doesn't mean that they're a victim. Just because you, and let's look at the whole sentence, you know, what's that, a compound sentence or whatever it is, right? The first part is, you know, I'll use a woman. You know, I was raped. Okay. So I want to tell people that I was raped. I was walking down the alley and I was raped. Okay. Let's stop it right there. Now, somebody based on that, people just based on the examples, oh, she's trying to be a victim. Wait a minute. She just said a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, let's go to the second part of the sentence. You know, and at the end of the day, I'm not going to let it get me down. I'm still going to go move forward and do what I need to do. And I'm not going to stop going out and going places. But I want everyone to be aware that these things happen and you have to be careful. OK, so when you hear the full sentence, does that sound like a victim? So she told the truth of fact. Mm-hmm. And then said at the same time how that fact is not going to stop her from moving forward. So a lot of times when we talk facts, okay, people automatically, they don't wait for the second part. They go right to they're trying to be victims. And I think I told you this example when this was on CNN, the sister, she was on CNN and she's, I forget her name, and she comes on periodically, okay? And she spoke at a round table and she spoke about how when she was working in corporate that she was making less money, okay, than her white counterparts or males or whatever the case may be, right? And then people started chiming in, calling her a victim. Ah, she's trying to be a victim. Did you hear the part where she gave up? She's on CNN. Mm-hmm. She's a contributor. So talking about, that's my point here. If somebody speaks facts, okay, they immediately start saying, oh, they're a victim.
Well, I think the toughest part about that is when you do speak facts, if people don't have respect for you or if they have racist tendencies or a level of bias, they make you the bad guy. So same scenario. There's a woman. She's assaulted. The first thing that the bad guy is going to ask is, what time was it? Why was you out that late? Why was you out at 9:15 at night? What were you wearing? All these other things. So the system is set up to make it to where you just want to give up and stay in because it's not going to support you. They didn't say, hey, we need to change the lighting in that neighborhood. We need to make sure that we get a neighborhood watcher. We don't need to fix the system. We need you to just do something different because you had a bad experience with the system. Get over it. That's what happens when women walk at night type of deal, and we victim shame so much. And so we create this narrative of the victim where none should exist because people should be allowed to speak the truth. They should be allowed to say, hey, I was in this situation and this happened and it wasn't right. But then it's, well, were you and I, we go someplace, we're in a boardroom, we're in a meeting session or whatever the case may be, and somebody get loose about the tongue or they pull some goofy stuff. You said something at your job one time where dude came at you left. And you was like, if I was this guy, he would have never done that. That wasn't you absorbing the victimhood. That was you stating the fact. And then people said, you're right, Tone. If that had been somebody else, that wouldn't have happened. But then it was, you're expected to be the bigger man and walk away. You're expected to kind of take it. When somebody yells out the N-word, We supposed to just keep talking and act like it didn't happen. And we've been hearing that forever. So we should be over it by now. That concept of you should just get over it. Or if you don't just get over it, let me get away with it and walk away. I'm going to cast you as the victim. So you in a catch 22.
And so, yep, that's 100% right. And so, but let's take it to the next level, bro. So okay. See, again, these are I'm talking specifically in this context. All right. So I get it. The woman, you know, people shame and say, try to make it her fault. That I get all that. And that's something that's always been happening. It's wrong, but it's happening, right? But they're not doing that as a collective. Okay, that might be one-offs, two-offs, right? But what we're seeing, what we're talking about is a collective culture, a collective strategy to try to name victimhood when it comes to when Black people, or like I said, any marginalized group, when they talk about facts, okay? That's what I'm saying, right? So you won't see a bunch of people on social media talking about the woman that got assaulted and saying she's a victim. Okay, you won't see that. I'm talking from a broader standpoint. But if you just got finished saying, if you was on doing a social media post and said, yeah, man, when I was at work and this and that and this happened, and, you know, obviously this wouldn't have happened. I've been in this situation before and I've seen same situations. They didn't respond this way, right? But with me, they responded that way, blah, blah, blah. Then people would come at you
absolutely
and start saying, that's my point. And there's a reason. There's a reason why. And let's dive into the reason, man. Because at the end of the day, this is not happens chance. This is on these. So this phenomenon didn't just create out of the blue. This was on purpose, okay? And then people started picking up on it. That's why it's so ignorant, because they don't even understand what they're talking about.
Now, a lot of times you'll notice they'll say that when it's convenient for them.
They're just becoming too much trouble. They bring these problems. We can't solve them. We can't hold them accountable. They blame us. They don't even like us. They blame the government. They blame history. They blame our ancestors.
Black people have always been held accountable. Historically, we've been held to a much higher standard. We've gotten more punishment, less grace, and much less room for error. So the idea that we're somehow allergic to accountability doesn't even line up with reality. Black people hold each other accountable all the time. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. Black people constantly call out bad behavior through social media, barbershop talks, podcasts, and within our own families and communities. There are Black folks that dedicate their lives to stopping violence and crime within our community. And all it takes is one quick search on any social media platform, and you can find videos of Black people condemning and calling other Black people out for bad behavior. Two things can be true at the same time. We can hold ourselves accountable, and we can also talk about the environment that we're operating in. But a lot of people want to act like history just stopped mattering at some random point. Like we all woke up one day on equal ground, equal opportunity, equal resources, and equal treatment. That's not reality. And pointing that out does not make you lack accountability. That makes you honest. Because make no mistake, if they had it their way, they would completely erase all of our history and prevent us from ever speaking about it again.
Absolutely.
So that's the issue, bro. I'm sorry, but just to be clear here, they don't want you talking about history. They don't. They just want to wash that away. Okay. So when you bring up these things, they don't want to hear them because they want to get rid of them. They don't want, that's the issue, right? Because look, we can go to a million times. You know, they did a doge and they were erasing all the diversity and all the content all across the government. Why is that? But they wasn't erasing Betsy Ross. They wasn't erasing all their history. You see my point here? So at the end of the day, if we can get them to stop talking about their history, okay, or we can shame them to talk about anything bad history, all right, the fact. Then it becomes eradicated because then nobody would know about it. So it's more of a shame. It's a strategy, bro. It's a strategy flat out. And that's where I get upset is when you have people of color that fall into it and they don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah, but I think he said that we call each other out and put us put ourselves on blast a lot too when we see it's a double-edged sword. You know, we got people that come at us and then we like, dang, why can't you ride out and stand in and be cool? You know what I'm saying? When we trying to say something, the Stephen A. Smiths of the world, and then you have people that go the other route and pacify and qualify bad behavior and things of that nature. So, but that happens in all communities, like you said. Have you ever read Fahrenheit 451?
I have not, no.
Okay, cool. So book 1953, a guy named Ray Bradbury wrote a book called Fahrenheit 451. The premise of the book is, in the future, dystopian times, firemen are burning books. And they're burning books because they don't want you to learn about a broader history, or what they want you to know what they want you to know. And if you have the opportunity to get outside your world in a book, then you they lose control of the narrative. And so they realize that firemen back in the day used to fight fires, where now firemen are people to actually burn the books. And they're going around finding books and burning them and calling them, it's like a witch hunt type situation and blah, blah, blah. The moral of the story is, it's just like with the critical race and all this other stuff that you're talking about now. If they get a chance to successfully erase some of these things that have occurred, a generation or three later, we don't speak that language. We don't even realize. The Mayans.
Flat out.
We know that the Mayans existed. We don't know anything else about the Mayans, buddy, because they got rid of all of that stuff.
Flat, buddy, you hitting it right on the head, right? So if they can shame you from saying, and y'all, you just trying to be a victim, okay, then eventually you will stop talking about it. Okay. And then it goes away. Yep. Right. And so that's where we can't allow that to happen. And two things can be true. You can still hold yourself accountable, but also tell facts. Right. So that's the part that drives me crazy, is that at the end of the day, they're pretty much saying, oh, you just want to make excuses and this and that. Who's doing that? We look, man. I mean, and again, man, let me ask you this. You live in Dallas. Okay. You communicate with a ton of people. And let's just say black people or Mexican or Asian or just marginalized group, right? And just be honest here. How many times have you heard somebody from that marginalized group speak the fact and then say, you know what, there's nothing I can do. You know, there's no sense for me even try to move forward.
No, I don't. I don't hear that.
Thank
I don't
you.
Hear the defeatist speech.
I've never, that's what I'm trying to, who are you? So number one, if you're saying I'm hearing this, who are you? Number one, see, here's the other thing too. If you're hearing this and you're saying you're hearing it from a lot of people of color, it's not, who are you hanging around? Okay. So what does that say about you? All right. So because birds of a feather, this is my point here. If you're winning, and you're making stuff happen, you ain't hanging with nobody who's making excuses, right?
Right, right.
Right? So you wouldn't even hear it. That's my point, Chris, is that people are saying it, and these are influential people. These ain't like somebody in the ghetto who's saying, man, I was hanging out with my boys, and we just give up. You okay, I can get that. Makes sense, because you guys, birds of a feather. So how are you sitting here and saying and trying to put this on when at the end of the day, you would have to hear it from your group, you the people that you hang around, right? So what does that say about you? So number one, that ain't happening. But you're still pushing a narrative that's not true.
But people tend to stop when their narrative is being exercised. Let me give you a great example. Once you get to the person that fulfills what you're trying to accomplish, they represent the entire diaspora. So if you a black dude and you against black folks doing it, once you get to against the dude that just robbed the convenience store, you like, see? They rob it. They are. Then that's when they start coming out. Correct. We was talking about the guy that speaks against folks. The new Charlie Kirk guy. The new on the I forgot
the, brother.
What the turning
the
point.
Brother
the brother on the Turning Point brother.
Correct.
If you could put 15 examples of the good brother in front of him, and he will say that's an isolated incident. That's a one off. You taking care of your kids and working and preaching the gospel, doing this that. You're a one off. You're one of the good ones. But you put one example that he don't have to know a lot of information. He has to know that this person did something and they're bad. The brother from Michigan. All, see, this is why you can't give money.
The preacher, yeah, the pastor.
The coach. The coach. Yeah. No, the coach. The coach from Michigan. Sharon
Juwan
Moore.
Howard?
No, Sharon Moore.
Sharon Moore.
So now, look, he had two. This ain't even about his coaching no more. It's not about all the things he built his career for. It was he got a lot of money and started chasing white babes and having an affair. Like, what are we talking about? What are we? Do you know how many coaches have got caught up? The coach at Arkansas, Patino. Like, it's been so many coaches caught up in stuff, but because he did it and he was black, you should have never gave him money. You should have gave him a platform.
So here's the thing, though, bro. Again, I hear you, but if that's coming from white people, that don't surprise me. What surprised me is that black people are saying this. That's my point, right? And so I look, that ain't nothing new, okay? So it's black people saying it. That's surprising, Chris, okay? So going back to the brother from the Turning Point, okay? Mm-hmm. So evidently, he's supposed to be educated. I saw him on a clip. I went to college and this and that, but all I'm hearing is black people, you know, victim shaming. So, buddy, who are you? That's my point. Who is he hanging around?
Right, right.
That's my point, Chris. Who are you hanging around that you care? Because you just established, okay, that out of all the people that you've been around that run in your circle or you grow up with, and this and that. Now, was there some bums that I grew up with that never did anything? Yeah, absolutely. But they didn't blame the world. All right? They didn't say, oh, they won't let me move ahead. So, you know, I might as well give up. Okay? So that's my point here. So you're hanging around the wrong people that are losers that's saying this, or you're making it up. Okay, that's my point. Because at the end of the day, we have other people on the chat. How many people have you been around that said, hey, I can't move ahead in life. I've just given up because systemic racism is so bad and they won't let us move ahead. And I try to get a job or I got a job and they let me go because I was black and I'm done. Okay. I just want to hear somebody tell me people that ran in your circle that say that. Here's the thing. Not one. Okay. I'm talking a multitude, because that's the narrative that's being pushed, that black people, a lot of black people or Hispanic or whatever, all they're doing is complaining. All they're doing is blaming this and that on what that's what the narrative says. Mm-hmm. It's not saying one person. It's saying a lot of people. Okay. And I'm trying to find out, where are these people at? And more importantly, how are you associated with them if they're saying that? Because I wouldn't be associated with anybody that had that type mindset. I don't run in those circles. So that's what I'm trying to understand. Where are they getting their information from?
Right. And that just, you know, and as the people are chiming in, that's because it doesn't fit your narrative. But for somebody who's trying to abide by that narrative and lift themselves up, I was reading something recently where Justice Clarence Thomas of the Supreme Court denounced a bill for DEI and some other things that allow for African-Americans or marginalized people to get certain scholarships and certain opportunities from an educational perspective. The hypocrisy, and I told you this, hypocrisy died and I didn't get the invite to the funeral. The hypocrisy is he came up under that same program. He's not the damn Supreme Court justice today, if not for that program. But now he like, no, they need to bootstrap and they need to try harder and they need to. But when your ass was coming up on it, it was cool. Now that you done got in, you done shut the door and padlocked that thing. What are we doing? You know what I mean? It's the concept of we have a lot of people who are using their platform against something that if you look back a couple layers or a couple years ago, they was on the same side here. Not to get off into this, right? But the MAGA folks, bro, it's so much footage of them specific. J.D. Vance called Trump Adolf 3 or 4 years before he ran with it. Like this, the concept of if I can't beat him, join him. And I think that we got a lot of people that ride out like that, Tony, where they like, look, it's more profitable, it's more sexy, sensational to talk bad about my own folks. I don't have no cooth. I wasn't raised right. So I'm just going to talk bad about my own folks.
But here's the thing, though, bro. See, I hear you. Let's just stay specifically on this, okay? Let me give you an example. So one of the cries, the screams, all of last year and in 2024 was that DEI was taking jobs from white people, okay? And white black people were being promoted or hired that was not qualified. And they're taking my job, okay? And, you know, we're here in nowhere. Nobody's doing nothing for us, but they're doing stuff for them, whole nine yards, right? Did anybody call them victims? You see my point here? Okay? Matter of fact, they changed the law.
Changed the law, bro.
Okay? Did anybody say, oh, they victim shame and leave? Shut up. You can go hold yourself accountable. Get off your own ass and make this happen. Did you hear that? That's my point, Chris.
Right, right, right.
Okay? Just keeping apples to apples.
Yep.
You hear none of that. They were screaming and crying, okay? And you know, blah, blah, blah. And then they changed stuff for them. Okay, and you didn't hear that victim shaming. You didn't hear victimhood. You didn't hear shut up and go get a job or get off your ass. You know, you don't have a strategy. You didn't hear none of that. That's my point. All right? And then not only that, now you got black people saying it, okay? Because they've fallen into a narrative that they don't look, bro, how many times did we do a show on what the definition of woke was? You know how many people say, oh, he's woke. And they had no clue what they're talking about.
Yeah.
That's my point. Yeah. Okay. Just because so when you try to create culture wars and then you start creating narratives that people pick up and they don't know what they're talking about. And more importantly, they're more of the narrative than anybody else. Okay. But they're pointing at you and saying you it. Okay, that's my point. That's my point. And they don't understand what they're talking about. But now you this new cultural phenomenon is now out there, okay? And at the end of the day, people are saying it more and more and more. And black people, buddy, and they don't even let you finish. See, my point is, you just say the facts, and then you don't say, hey, I gave up. I don't know what to do. You don't even go to that, but they immediately, just because you said the facts, you victim. And here's the thing. Let's be clear, too. Chris, you are what? Senior director or whatever your title is. Mm-hmm. Okay. You could be a VP, SVP. Okay. You could be a judge. You could be, you know, you could be working somewhere and you got your own business. You got all that. And then when you say, what time it is about how this structure is not is in your way. It's right. It's becoming a hindrance for your business to grow or for you to do this and you do that. Then they're saying that you're a victim. You're becoming victimhood when you got a job. Right. You rose up the ranks. Okay, right. You started your own business. What? You're right. Talking about, that's right. My point. Right. That's right. The point. Okay. Right. You're not sitting under a shade tree. You're not crawled up as the video showed and sitting on a chair and saying that world, woe is me. I can't move forward and this and that. That's my point. Right. So it don't even matter that you're out there making it happen. Like I said, the woman on CNN, she think about it. She had her own business. She just told a fact. And then they were like, oh, she's trying to be a victim. How? When she's on TV, she's employed. She's got a job. She's making more money than the person that's saying the thing. You see my point here? That's my point, bro.
But see, the narrative is that not only white folks, but good black folks feel like sometimes we can get too big for our britches and we should just be happy to be here. And therefore, once we get to a spot, just be happy that you have a job. Like I've heard this in real life at my job. Man, they letting people go. Just be happy you have a job. Don't be ambitious. Don't deserve what you've earned based on your education, your acumen, and all that. Don't be aspirational. Just be cool. Because if you ask for too much or you want too much, then they will find a way to make it seem like you're being ungrateful. And so when you have a desire to say, hey, this is what I put in for, this is what I paid for, this is what I'm owed, this is the law, then why you got to bring that up? That's not cool. Whenever you're making, we talk about this constantly, whenever you're making a white male uncomfortable, they're going to find a way to change the narrative and make it to where, hey, you shouldn't make me feel this way. And I'm going to make sure that I call you whatever or do whatever to dissuade you from doing that, because that's not what I want to have happen. I want to be on top, at sitting at a pinnacle, and it's not enough room for anybody else but me at this spot. When you talk about the victim mentality, it's a situation where I think that there's a level of honesty in saying, hey, this happened, or this is my truth. This is what's going on, good, bad, or indifferent. But when you do it at the expense of somebody else being accountable, see, they want me to be accountable and rise up bootstraps and all that. But when I call the truth out and it adds to a level of accountability you have to have, that's when you have to fight. It's like you've been in relationships. She mad at you, so you mad at her. You know what I'm saying? And that's the problem.
Right. That's part of it, buddy. But it's more than that. It's a strategy. Okay, so you keep, I'm talking, this is a collective strategy to have people stop talking about the ills, the facts. Okay, that's what this is. Okay, so let me give you another example.
And then there's the part that nobody likes to talk about. When we speak about injustice, it makes people question their own personal position. It forces them to ask whether the system that they benefit from is actually fair. And calling us victims is just a way to shut that conversation down before things get too uncomfortable for them. So the phrase victim mentality is not about our mindset. It's about protecting theirs. It's a defense mechanism, and it's a way for them to avoid accountability without actually having to say, I don't want to talk about this because it makes me uncomfortable. And that's why that phrase gets thrown around so loosely, because once you label somebody as having a victim mentality, then you don't have to deal with them anymore. Another thing that people don't understand is a lot of what they call victim mentality is really just survival awareness. And I already know what some of y'all are thinking. No, it's not the same survival awareness that y'all like to throw around to avoid coming in contact with black people. When you're aware of patterns, you move differently. But people who have never had to think like that will always misinterpret awareness as negativity. This is usually where the conversation always goes. Well, if black people just work harder, then we wouldn't have anything to talk about. But the funny thing is, we do work hard. We always have worked hard. In fact, the reason why we're here today is because of the hard work that we've had to put in. Now, are there some black people that are lazy as hell? Of course. I'm not saying that doesn't exist. And you purposely being a lazy individual is not the system's fault. So I'm not saying that either. But majority of us are not like that. And based on factual data, the stereotype of us being lazy is just not true.
And so he said everything that I just said, except for the fact that they don't have a desire to produce fair and equitable treatment. What we're asking for based on the hard work, because that was very important that he said, we talk about the black tax all the time. We work our asses off. We study our asses off. We position and dress and everything to the best of our ability. But what we want from that investment is a fair and equitable opportunity. And because the system's not designed to provide a fair and equitable opportunity for us, we have an issue with that, because you can't make sense of it. But instead of you explaining to me why or being honest about it and taking accountability, you dismiss me, or you call me a victim, or you say that I need to get over it, or I need to chill out, or I need to just, you know what I'm saying, be cool. That's the problem. It's back to the level of discomfort that you elicit when you ask questions or when you pose certain circumstances.
Yeah, yeah. So here's the thing, though, bro. I don't disagree with any of that. And my man definitely said that, right? But the other thing that you have to recognize, and I keep saying this is a strategy. So when I hear what you're saying, I hear what you're saying from an individual standpoint, okay? And that all makes sense, right? But This now is not an individual thing. This is a ton of people doing it on purpose because they don't, all the things you said, they don't want Black people to bring up anything about systemic or history or anything on that. So if it was just an individual thing, I agree with you. They're uncomfortable and they got to understand this. I got to understand that. So that would be the antidote. But it's not an individual thing. It's a strategy. All right. Because if I can get you to stop, see, you keep talking, you, the way you position is they got to learn more. They don't want that. What they're trying to do is get people to stop talking about this. That's it. All right. They don't want it. It's not about they need to learn more. They don't care about that. You just saw the earlier clip where my man talked about how they were electrocuting the dogs. Okay. And the dogs had a way to get out of it. Right. But after they got electrocuted a few times, they just gave up. Right. Mm-hmm. So they're expecting us to do the same thing, bro. They want us to stop talking about these things. Why you think they eradicating books? See, all this goes hand in hand. It's not one-offs. It's not separate. Is that we're going to erase. We don't want none of these books. Okay. Because we don't want nobody, generations moving forward, to learn any of this. Number two, we're going to take them out as much as we can. And we're going to use the moniker DEI. All right. That's the guys to do it. Okay. But we're going to erase that. We're going to go to the Smithsonian history and we're going to take out all that stuff. Okay. And then we don't want them talking or bringing this up. We don't want them. We want them to bring up the good things of America. That's what you hear. We want, why are you talking about this when America, the brother, that turning point, that's what he brought up. America is so great. Where, you know, this and that. They don't want to talk about the inequities, the structure right. that's set up to limit or to push people back. They don't want to talk about that. So how do they do it? Collectively, as a group, right. they start saying victim mentality. Okay. Right. And you need to be held accountable. Well, all you people don't work hard. When the facts, but the slide that he just showed was from the Department of what? It was from Department of Labor. The slide that he showed was every group and the percentage of the people in that group who have jobs. And Black people right there, 80-something%. So they have the stats. Mm-hmm. They even got the numbers. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you don't hear that. They don't refute that. Okay. So that's my point. They have all the truths. They know the truths. But what they're trying to do collectively, just like they came up with woke. Okay. Mm-hmm. That came up. That's a collective strategy that anybody can jump on. Right. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, now that'll shame people from bringing these things up. And so that's my point. All the things that you said in terms of this, buddy, 100%. But that's not new, okay? Because that's always been the case. This is a collective strategy, okay? And now even Black people are diving into it. And so when you start diving into something and you remember when we did the clip, we did the show about woke and we had Governor, what's the governor of Florida?
DeSantis.
DeSantis, okay. Here's my point, okay? And at his inaugural, after he won re-election, what was his election speech? You remember?
When he was talking about, we going to get that out of Florida, we not
no,
going to
no.
have woke.
We fight the woke.
He said,
we fight the work woke in the legislature. Yeah, yeah, we fight the work woke in schools. We fight the woke. That's what he, and people, because we don't want the woke. He was saying the woke, okay? So the bottom line is, people were cheering.
And they had
no clue that, what he was saying is, we don't want you to be aware about what goes on in the legislature. We don't want you to be aware what goes on in court. We don't want you to. That's really what the definition of woke. He didn't. But people were cheering. Yeah. And they didn't even know what he was talking about. And he was basically saying, we don't want you guys to be aware of anything. OK, that's my point. So now you create a system of victim shaming, of victim mentality. And now people is throwing that on anything, yeah, right? Absolutely. Just because somebody says a fact, okay? Mm-hmm. He's got a victim mentality, victim, because you're trying to create the same type of landslide or avalanche that they did right. with woke. And that's what I'm right. seeing with the victim mentality stuff.
Yeah, but I think, so in your impression, what did they think they were cheering for when he was saying woke? What were they replacing the word woke with from a sentiment perspective?
So in their mind, they were thinking how they positioned the word woke was that these are progressive nutcases, okay? That they're pushing stuff too far because, you see my point? So that's what he was saying. When is there some truth to some of that? Absolutely. There's some people that go way to the left too far. So that's true. But at the end of the day, they were just talking facts. They were saying that this needs to be fixed. And this, so it was facts. Okay. And by the end of the day, and those facts would benefit the people that was cheering. All right. But when you can throw stuff out to make people ignorant and think and create, make the message about something else. Okay. Then that's what that was about, bro. Why did you ask?
Because people are adverse to change and they don't want accountability. So in the idea of, I remember we went through a phase, let's just say 8 years ago, where they were talking about bring your authentic self to work. And then that backfired on a lot of people because they believed it. And you got to, I mean, we had to do another show on code switching and all this other stuff, but we can't operate openly and candidly because it creates a level of fear and inadequacy. Because if you do know that it makes me uncomfortable. You do know that I'm not happy to be here or I'm not just happy to have a job. You get nervous and you get anxious and you feel uncomfortable. And therefore you want that out of your, you know, you want to make it feel like, I'll say this. And as we, you know, shut this thing down, there was a tour in Louisiana of a plantation and it was a young lady. She's on the tour. And the people that are giving the tour are saying, this is one of the most profitable plantations, but they treated all their slaves like family. And they just, you know, and everybody wanted to be, nobody hardly ever ran away. And there was no rebellion and this, that. And it's like, what are we doing? You're trying to qualify slavery, which is naturally, authentically a bad thing. Like, it's just a known. If somebody made your child a slave right now, you wouldn't be happy, okay? But you're trying to qualify like, no, it wasn't what you said. It wasn't what they told you it was. It wasn't what they're whining and they're crying. They're not being honest about how they were treated. No. And then you go to any kind of museum and you see the lynchings and the hangings and this, that, the pictures, the news clippings, the invitations. That's what it really was. That's what they're trying to get rid of, is the reality of somebody has to say, you know what? That doesn't mean that these people are responsible. But there's a level of accountability that has to happen to what occurred in the United States. And that's what they're running from. They're running from that level of accountability.
So you speak in my language. That's exactly. They want to write the history the way they want it. To your point, they were family. They were this and that in the whole nine yards, right? So that's my point, Chris. So we're aligned, my brother. Yep, we're definitely aligned now, right? Yep. So look, at the end of the day, we need to recognize. We want everybody to recognize, right? You know, leadership says, I see the system, I understand the barrier, and I'm still building. That's what the majority of people are saying, okay?
Right.
So that's it, okay? That doesn't make them victims. They don't have a victim mentality. Why? Because what they're saying, I see the system, I see redlining, okay? That tried to keep me in my one neighborhood and wouldn't let me move to another neighborhood, right? And I understand why they're trying to do it. But guess what? I'm going to still work on getting out of here and moving to some place that I want to be at. So that's not victim mentality, okay?
Yeah. Well, the victim mentality says the system exists, so I quit. Nothing I can do
exactly.
about it. Exactly.
But buddy, so you're 100% right. But that's what we want the audience to walk away with. So if you hear somebody gives facts, okay, don't immediately, just because they say the fact, they got a victim mentality. No. Number one, I can't believe I'm saying this. Number one, are they working? What's their title? Do they have a business? Right? So you can't even say they have a victim mentality if they speak in facts. Now, if you hear the end of the sentence, I give up, or there's nothing for me, or I don't know why I should keep moving forward, then they have a victim mentality.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So that makes sense. So just be clear. Truth says the system exists, so I adjust and advance. Truth telling is not victimhood. Surrender is.
Absolutely. Heavy, dog. It's always, you know, it's like you said, making uncomfortable conversations comfortable, but we have to start with ourselves and then cascade it outwards. And that's, you know, the nature of these conversations, the back and forths and the audience engagement, things of that nature. But this was definitely something that, as you see it now, you can't unsee it, right? You can't unhear it. And we have to do better and then force. We can't just go away quietly. That as a sports fan, I'm always attracted to the team that don't just quit. I'm always attracted, even when things are not looking good or things are not looking up. I mean, you know, they don't just go away quietly. They stick it out until the end and fight the good fight. And that's what we have to do as a country and as a group of a collective. Like you said, there's one collective that's going this way. We got to be the collective rowing in the other direction.
Yeah. So next, we're going to close here. So make sure you check out our shows. Need to Know with Dr. Singer Burden every Thursday. A Mixed Executive Perspective with Grace Food and Corey. New episode will be released tomorrow, and our roundtable, Pull Up, Speak Up. And then just real quickly, I know you guys love coming to our BEP Lives. So effective April 6th, BEP Live is going to move to a new time at 8 p.m. Eastern, starting effective April 6th. So we're going to be 2 hours later, allow our brothers and sisters on the West Coast to be able to catch Chris and I talk about these uncomfortable topics, and they can join and stuff to that nature. So November 6th, BEP Live.
April 6th.
I'm sorry. April 6th.
That's all right.
BEP Live, 8 p.m. Eastern.
And then tell them about next week, Tony. We're not going to be in
Oh, so next week we're not going to be here because we're going to be in Austin, Texas at the AI conference.
HBC AI
conference? Yeah, HBCU, sorry, AI yep. conference. We're going to be doing a live episode there. We're going to be interviewing a lot of esteemed guests that's invited. I just got finished chatting with the mayor of Durham, North Carolina earlier today. We're going to sit down and speak with him. So we have a jam pack next week. We'll be seeing some of our clips on social media. So please, you know, engage with them, like them. But yeah, BEP is going on the road. So we won't be here next Tuesday, but we will see you on the 17th. That's when 17th. We'll be back.
17th. Yep. We'll be back on the 17th. So thank you for tuning in. Of course, now, thank you for tuning in on the 17th. Make sure you check us out, comment, like, all that stuff as you like to do. But we always want to, you know, make sure that we are reaching you wherever you are. And do you want to give them a call to action today, Tony?
So listen, the call to action today is recognize what victimhood mentality is, okay? Because that's really the key. And when you hear that, push back on it, okay? Because at the end of the day, people still need to say the truth, and they still need to be held accountable. So two things can be true at the same time. But if you're not hearing that they're willing to be held accountable, then guess what? Then they have a victim mentality, all right?
Absolutely.
All right. So we thank you guys for joining another episode of BEP Live. We'll see you in 2 weeks. March 17th, and again, April 6th, 8 o'clock Eastern. For my co-host with the most, my boy down in Dallas, Chris P. Reed, I'm Tony Tidbit. We talked about it. I was definitely hoarse about it, so I'm sorry about that. I got a cold, and I'm coughing and stuff of that nature. But regardless, we love you, and we'll see you next time, and we're out.
A Black Executive Perspective.